Kids, you've been waiting, haven't you? You can come forward. That was your cue. I could tell you've been waiting, waiting. When is Brendan going to stop talking so we can come out and see what exciting thing is about to happen next? Well, your wait is over because it's all about to happen.
Hi again. Do you remember me? I'm Leonora Daventina, the great, 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 great granddaughter of Leonardo da Vinci's neighbour's cousin's best friend's former roommate. And so, as you will remember, the spirit of art and creativity flows so strong in me. I've been talking to Angela and Mark and Nathan about what you've been learning upstairs in KL Kids, about being the church and being disciples. And I thought, what better way than to make another art installation to help us to pull all that together, all right, a living art installation. How many kids have I got? 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Right. Okay. All right. I need 2 kids. Elijah. Mia. Ruby. Sorry. I don't know you well because I'm Leonora Daventina. Okay. All right. Wait there. Okay. All right. You need to hold this. Here's your tape measure. Okay.
Half a hat.
The hat is mine. Keep your hands off my hat. Right. Okay. All right. So, can you hold that? We are the church. We need one another. Stay there. All right. 2 more kids. Okay. Joe. You're Joe. And Eli, I guess. One of you, though, has to stay really still. Eli can stay. Okay. All right. All right. Oh, have you done this before? Okay, lie down. All right, that's for you, and that's for you. Stand up. Hold the sign so everyone can see it. Be a good neighbour. Thank you, Joe and Eli. All right, I need one person. Josiah. No, you're Joe.
You never specified which
one. I did. I pointed. All right. There's something missing. Just a minute. You need a hat. All right. You want to hold that? Tell the good news. All right. Now, someone else. You're already up here. Oscar, hop up there.
What? I get to...
Ooh la la. Am I going
to... Ooh la la. He's very French. Am I going to... I'm Italian. You did know that, didn't you?
What do I look like?
Okay, stand there. All right. Hold the sign. Choose Jesus. Okay, someone else. Kelsey. This is not an exciting one, Kelsey. You sure you want to do this? All right. You need to read this big book, which is actually Vine's something, something, something. Vine's Amplified Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Okay, stand forward where everyone can see you. Now you have to read it. Can you hold a sign and read a big book at the same time? Okay, I need someone to volunteer to come and stand beside Kelsey and hold the sign, Emma. All right. No Jesus. That's it. All right. I just need to look. All right. In a bit, Josiah. Okay, Joe, you need to stand near your patient because you can't help him from that distance. All right, someone else. Joey, thank you for volunteering. Okay, now, I want you to stand in there beside Oscar.
Sheffield.
What do you think Joey's going to be?
A chef.
Nope.
A clay maker.
A clay maker? Do you not know what that word is?
Tomatoes.
A gardener.
It's very heavy.
A potter.
A potter. Copy Jesus. All right. One more. Lizzie. All right. Can you go and stand beside Josiah for me, please? Okay, put on this. All right. Okay, here's your sign. Show Jesus. You're not all in the picture. Okay. So did you know that if you are a disciple, then you are part of the church? Because the church is not a building. The church is people. Not just in the building, though. You're always the church. You're the church everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay? Everywhere you go, you're the church, right? And if you are part of the church, that means that you are a disciple. Okay. So that's how those two things go together. But you are the church. So I need you all to turn around and face the front. And Eli, you need to come out onto this side. Can you hop up and come out, please? Instead of, I guess you're a patient, so perhaps I need to Fireman's carry you. Perhaps someone else needs to Fireman carry you. You can do it. Come and stand here. Okay, and you need to move backwards. Careful, don't step backwards. You have children behind you. All right, step backwards. Lizzie, now, remember last week we learned that being a secret agent wasn't how you show Jesus, so we're just going to pop the sunglasses up the top. All right, let me look at you. How are you looking? How are you looking? Mia, come and kneel in the front. JJ, come and kneel in the front. I'll just put it down, that's all right. All right, JJ, Mia. That's going to fall off. That's really weird. All right. We got some more disciples. Everybody's part of the church. Okay. Everybody's part of the church. Turn around and face the front. Eli, you need to move closer so that you get in the picture. And all the people who are part of the church, you say, hi, we're part of the church. Congratulations to our Living Art installation. We are all part of the church.
The reading this morning, Matthew 6, verses 9 to 11. I would like you all to read it with me. Sometimes this prayer is said quite fast, but I'd like us to take it a little slowly today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. And the focus today will be on verse 11. Give us today our daily bread.
Let's pray, shall we? Father God, it is good to get together. It is good to open your word. And Father, this Lord's Prayer, Disciples' Prayer, Method Prayer is something amazing. Now I pray, Father, again, the Holy Spirit would work in our lives and just be about a work. I know it's something that we know it off by heart, but Lord, I pray that you grab hold of it with us today and we'll go on this journey with you, not just today, but each and every day, for it's a prayer that we can reflect on and pray through each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before we get into that really, really important verse, verse 11, give us today our daily bread, very simple six words, give us today our daily bread. Let's just go back a little bit because it's important to unpack the backward steps to get to this part, because sometimes you just don't get who's giving this to us unless you know the first bit. So it starts with our Father. So we've got to get back to that place. It's no good about going about the kingdom of God if you don't know whose the kingdom is. And you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know who the Father is. If you have no relationship with the Father, if you can't say in a prayer, our Father, then it's no good praying about the kingdom. It's no good asking for your daily bread because there's no relationship. You need to make sure that's in place. You need to get the picture that the God that you're talking to, that you're saying our Father to, that through the brotherhood of Jesus and the family of God, is the God who is the creator of all that is, the heavens, the earth, everything that is. He is the one that in and through and is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever dream or imagine. Yeah. This is the our Father that we're talking about. But he is a holy God. He is holy power. He is holy love. It is holy grace. It is holy comfort. It is holy peace. He is a holy God. Not to be messed with, not to be trifled with, not to play games with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it is his kingdom that is about to be. I loved your word last week, Brendan. It is his kingdom, not my kingdom. It is his will, not my will. And I don't know how many of you had to pray this week, Lord, forgive me for my kingdom, forgive me for my will. Because that rises up in me all the time. It rises up. I want to do it my way. Like I've got this secret ability to want to be Frank Sinatra. And it doesn't work. Trust me. But we want to do it God's way and God's kingdom. And that is our Father who is holy, who is the creator of all. So does it make sense? When you unpack it all like that, this is the God that says to us, give us today our daily bread. So when he says give, it is he who is the creator who wants to give to you. It is he who wants to give to you. Now, Trevor, how are you doing, buddy?
Very well.
Very good. Did you get a newsletter today? You did. Did you get $5 in your newsletter?
No, I didn't.
You didn't, huh? Unlucky by you, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. So, but if I give you something, what is that called?
Generous.
Generous? Yes, it is very generous. It's generous of me, but what is the thing called? If I give you something, like if I give you my wallet, the offering's been done, so there's nothing in it now. So that becomes a gift. It becomes a gift. So in this prayer, what are we asking from God? A gift. He wants to give us it. How many people know God wants to give us things? How many know he wants to bless us? How many know he wants to enable us and strengthen us and be able to work in and through us? He wants to bring healing into us. So when we say give, we've got a God who's going, I'm here. You've got my attention. I want to work in your life. I love you. I have a plan and a purpose for you. I am the Our Father, the Holy One, the creator of all that ever was. This is my kingdom. This is my will and my purpose. I have a gift for you today. And what day is it? Every day. It's not just, okay, Sunday, so that must be the day I get to pray this prayer. This is the only day. This is God's holy day. No, it's every day. So it's give, all right? Now, the next word is us. It's a plural word. It's not give me. This is not a selfish line. This is not give me, 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 me. This is all about me. No, it's not about me. This is give us. Give us. Give us. Today. What day? Today. Each and every day that you pray. It's fresh every day. What is that other one in Lamentations? The mercies of God are new every morning. Every morning. Do you need the work of God in your life every day? Amen. Every morning. That's why I like sunrises. I like to get down and look at the sun come up and go, yes, Lord, it's good to meet you today. Even though he's been with me as I walk to the beach, you know what I mean? But it's good to acknowledge that. It's good to focus and say, thank you, Lord God. Blessed be this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. You know? Every day. So today, and it gives us our, again, plural, not mine, daily bread. Bread. I got news for you. The Greek word actually means bread. but it can also be used for any sort of food. Now, the interesting thing with this verse, I did a very good exercise. And compared it in a whole bunch of different versions, because you know I wanted to be able to study this properly for you, and to be able to say, okay, this is important that we dig into this. It's the same in 90% of versions, so there's not a lot of difference. So when the commentators and the translators grab this and put it all into different translations, give us today our daily bread is the one that comes through loudly and clearly. There's a couple of little different ones. The NLT says, give us today the food we need. The message is a little bit different. It says, keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us alive with three square meals. So that makes sense in that sense. Now, the interesting thing is that some of you might be going, oh, the message, Dawny, why did you even mention that book? You know that book's not going to be in heaven. but the idea of the message is brilliant to get us to think simply about things. Now, the picture that goes with this line is about a traveling man, a businessman. Now, in the day of Jesus, to go from one place to the next as a businessman, you did not have a car to get you from A to B. You, if you were very wealthy, you may have had a donkey or a horse or a camel, but generally you walked. And so if you were going from one place to the next that day, guess what? Give us today the sustenance I need to go about my business and to get to a place of rest is the idea of the prayer. Does that make sense? Give me today what I need to do what you've called me to do, to bring about your kingdom and your will in this place and in my life today. So there's the food, there's the traveling journey, there's the sustenance, the strength to be able to get through the day, and there's the things that you need to do to get the business done. Is that a good prayer to pray every day? Who needs to pray that prayer? Hey, when we get to this part of the prayer, how many of us go over this so very quickly? Give us today our daily bread. Because the reality is, we don't need to ask God to give us our daily bread. How many of you got up this morning and go, Lord, I really like breakfast. And then you nudge your wife in the shoulders, hey, I need breakfast. No. You go to the fridge, there's milk in the fridge. Anyone not have milk in the fridge today? Okay, we got milk in the fridge. We got cereal. We got bread. We can get our breakfast, no problem at all. There's one square meal. Nothing from God. I've got it covered. Thank you. So what's the point of this prayer? Claire Tilliard is a part of our church from the Tilliard family, and she's coming to Malawi with us, and she's one of our RI teachers over here in the school. She teaches every day in her RI lesson at the very beginning, the Lord's Prayer. And she's given them, according to my grade fives who had Claire last year in grade four, a dance so they can remember how the prayer is prayed. And so they have this, all the actions of it. One of the most amazing parts that Claire has as she goes through teaching them the Lord's Prayer is this line, "Give us today our daily bread." She thought about it and she grabs three kids every Friday afternoon and says, "Okay, who has something they'd like to ask the Lord for?" Grade four kids. She now has to control the class because everyone's putting, oh, miss, I got a prayer, I want to pray. And so when they go through the prayer, they get to this line, and when they say, "Give us today our daily bread," they stop. And the three people who put up their hands stand up and pray for what they need. They pray for what they need. And Claire's had to go into the whole thing of what you need, not what you want. Because at the very beginning it was, "Lord, I need a Ferrari. I need a new PlayStation, Father. I need my mum to let me go out after I've been grounded for 2 weeks." You know, so she's had to change all the differences in these grade four's prayers to get to a point of what they need. And she said the transformation has been amazing. You want to know what's even more amazing? She starts the class by asking the three kids who prayed the prayer the week before on what they needed, did God answer their prayer? Is that setting her up to go wrong? Is that setting her up for the kids to go, "Yeah, miss, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. I prayed and nothing. God didn't turn up." So far, she hasn't had that happen once. So far, what she gets is three answered prayers every Friday afternoon. "Yet you have faith as little children." Three answered prayers every Friday afternoon. So Claire has no fear asking the next week, "Okay, who prayed the prayer? Who has seen God answer those prayers?" So what happens to these kids when they come to grade five? They know the Father, who is the creator of heaven and earth, answers prayer because they've seen him answer every Friday afternoon, "Give us today our daily bread." How many of us give God that space to answer the prayer that we need? Or do we rely on our own providence, gifting, strength and abilities to make it come through? When I moved to Tasmania, it was to a faith ministry. And what a faith ministry meant was that you worked full time for the radio station, but they didn't pay you. And you needed to trust God for your provision. The first week I was there, they went through the whole faith aspect of everything. And I went up to Mrs. Brown, who was the head lady in the whole place. And I said, "Mrs. Brown, I've got a confession. I have come down with $2,000 in the bank. And you've just challenged me to live by faith. What do I do now with the $2,000 in the bank? If I'm supposed to be trusting God to provide everything for me here in Tasmania, do I give that away? Do I sow it into someone else's life? What do I do with it?" And she gave me some wisdom. She said, "Well, Donnie, because this is the first time you've ever lived by faith, how about we say that that $2,000 is already spent?" And I went, "Okay, what on?" And she said, "Your accommodation. So your accommodation is taken care of for the year. Your rent for the rest of this year is the $2,000. It's gone. You can't touch it. That's got to be there for that. In fact, you could give it to us and we will pay your accommodation for you, and that way it's not your money. Then you have to trust God for everything else. Transport, food, clothing, the lot." And I went, "Deal." What an amazing journey that year was. Did we see God's provision or not? We were a part of a Church of Christ church. We were running a halfway house. We would have kids coming in off the streets all over the place. We had someone in the church saying, we're moving to the mainland. We've got a great big chest freezer. Would you like the chest freezer, Donnie? Sure. I've got somewhere to put it, but I've got nothing to put in it. But we'll have the chest freezer. So we had this big chest freezer. You know the ones that you lift the lid off and you can fall into? Or you could put people in. Not that we ever did that. Only when they were naughty. Anyway, so we got given the chest freezer. And we had it there. And there's like 12 kids living in the house at the time. And they're all standing around the chest freezer because it took a bit of work to get in. It was big. And they're all going, so what are we going to do with that, Donnie? And I said, I don't know. And this one kid pulled out his wallet and went, I got enough money. And I went, what for? And he goes, I'm buying ice cream. So he ran over to the shops and he brought a 2-litre block of ice cream and he put it in the freezer. It lasted only the night, but it was in there. The next Sunday at church, a farmer from down in the Huon Valley came up to me and said, Donnie, we've been killing some beasts on the property and we made a mistake. I went, what do you mean you made a mistake? Did you kill the wrong one? He said, we've got way too much meat left over. We've got nowhere to put it. Have you got any room in your freezer? Yes, mate, I've got a whole freezer. And he said, okay, we'll come up after church. Guess how much meat we had?
One freezer full.
You've lived in Tasmania and you've probably heard the story. Poor Paul, he hears all these stories. Anyway, it just filled the whole freezer. Last thing, dunk, shut. And all the kids are looking at this going, whoa, we've got meat. And I'm going, and I'm a vegan. No, vegetarian. Drats. My first 6 months in Tassie, I was a vegetarian. Only because I couldn't afford meat, mainly. But anyway. God provided. Open doors. Let God work in it. Give us today our daily bread. How are you praying that prayer to let God give you what you need for today? Some of us have got ailments. Some of you know that I've got my right eye is not working properly. Somewhere in the last 6 months, a cataract has appeared and it's taken my eyes from a 4 to a 11. And therefore, I need a surgery, and I'm on the fast list at the hospital, which is anywhere between now and the next 12 months. Praise God for the fast list. But the thing is, if this eye shuts, you guys are just a complete blur, complete blur. I cannot tell that's Bruce, even though I know it's Bruce. So my left eye works really well, even with the glasses off. I know that's Bruce. It's interesting how God has strengthened this eye, but my right eye is dudded. And how I found this out is we had a prayer night here one night, and we're in the middle of our prayer night, and this beautiful blonde walked in, and I got up to say hello and welcome her, and it was only when I got to about here that I recognized the beautiful blonde was indeed my wife. Hence, we went to the optometrist just to find out what was wrong with my eyesight. But every morning, I get to pray for my right eye. God, I'll go and see the doctor, the surgeon, anytime you want me to. You just open that door. But until then, in the name of Jesus, can you bring about some healing? Can you bring about this? Give me today what I need to get through. There's spaces in our lives where God can do stuff for you and for me. For us as a church, we are stepping out into the area of the Oikos project, into big chunks of land, possible buildings. You may be aware we don't have the money for that, but we will pray as a leadership team, give us today our daily bread, what we need to do your work, to bring about your kingdom, because you are our Father on earth as it is in heaven. We'll pray that prayer and we'll bring it about. We're going to close off this time in prayer because today, right across Queensland, Baptist churches are going to join together and pray. And we'll be praying for something we need. And we're going to ask God to gift it to those that need it most. Interesting that last week we got a little taste of what it's like to have a fire in our backyard. By the way, many people did amazing works. Our own Matt Govan, who's the chaplain of the police, did a lot of work up there with all the police, and lots of stuff came through. 150 pizzas on one night came and fed everybody that was out in the station, so that was amazing. But we've got a taste of it. We've got fires all over the place. We've got places like Stanthorpe and Tenterfield, Warwick, and coming into Toowoomba that are running out of water. We are in need of rain across our nation and across our state. So we are going to pray. Give us today our daily rain. We need it. So we're just going to pray. I'm going to leave it quiet. And if you feel an unction to pray out aloud in amongst us as a people, because this is give us, we're going to pray for the farmers, our brothers and sisters out and about. We're going to pray for rain. Let's just do that now, shall we? Let's pray. And Father, we thank you that we can come together. This can be our prayer. And we can ask, Lord, you to give us this rain. Us as in here on the coast. Us as in here out to Stanthorpe. Us as in brothers and sisters, your church, whether it be Baptist or Church of Christ Uniting, Lord, right across, that you would be able to move in and through us as your church, as your people called for such a time as this, to cry out to you, to humble ourselves and to pray, has already been said. But as also has been said, Father, we don't just pray for the rain for the land, we pray for the rain for our spirit, that your holy rain would come down upon us all, that we would all make place and space for you in each of our lives, on this day, but on every day, that we could come to you and say, Lord, our Heavenly Father, give us today what we need to be about our Father's work, whether it be food, whether it be money, whether it be strength, whether it be gifting. Lord, may you be Jehovah Jireh in and through all of us. And Father, we lift up the farmers. We ask for your protection around them. We ask that you would deliver them from depression, anxiety, fear, that they would turn their eyes to you. Give us today our daily bread. And God's people said, amen. I'm going to finish with one last point, and that is this. Give us today our daily bread. And if we have daily bread, if we have riches, if we have what God has given us, what is our responsibility to do with that? You mentioned before, Trevor, generous. To give is to be generous. We have a generous Father, and he gives us so that we can be generous children. May God guide you as you pray. In Jesus' name, amen.